Good morning. It is 7:42 here on the Mighty 690. Time for a update here with State Representative Dr. Ron Bryce, State Senator Virgil Pack join us both in studio. Good morning here. It's a fifth Friday, so we get to have both of you on.
Good morning. Yes, it's fifth Friday, a great day to be alive in southeast Kansas, and I've got a cup of coffee from the back room of KGGF, and understand it must be Coffee Company coffee or
yeah,
something.
Yeah, it sure as heck is.
That's the good stuff.
The good stuff.
Now, Ron's got the professionally prepared stuff. I don't know about ours.
I've got the genuine right here.
Yeah.
Well, I thought with Coffeeville coffee, you couldn't screw it up.
Pretty much. It's pretty hard. Pretty hard. So, all right. Well, I know there's a lot to get to, and it's hard to believe we're only just a few days away from our primary election. Big primary election. Of course, a lot of candidates running on both the Republican and Democrat sides for many issues.
It's interesting. It really is. This election cycle, I've been involved in the political arena, it doesn't seem possible, since 2000, not as a legislator, but just involved in helping campaigns and so forth. But this is the first time I have seen the minority party, the Democrats, have some really strong contested races. 11 candidates for U.S. Senate, 3 candidates for state or for the governor of the state of Kansas. And they've got a horse race over there. That'll be interesting to watch. And I'm going to guess KGGF's going to have reports on Tuesday.
That's right. Yep.
Okay.
So it'll be an interesting evening. So as you know, we go into all of that, I know there has been some changes. We've been hearing, you know, the word about the 3-day grace period for ballots no longer being in effect. But apparently there's some news on that.
There is some news as of yesterday, and I tell you what, there's a lot of frustration with a lot of legislators. Just a brief history, James. In 2017, by the way, Representative Bryce and I, neither one were in the legislature at that time. In 2017, the legislature passed legislation that created a 3-day grace period for mail-in ballots. If your ballot is postmarked by Election Day, which in this case is August the 4th, and received by the Friday after Election Day, it will still count. We changed that in 2025. Ron and I were both in the legislature. The vote was to let's eliminate this 3-day grace period. It was an experiment that just didn't work. It was an 8-year experiment that wasn't working. We had ballots that were not being postmarked. We had ballots that were postmarked prior to Election Day that weren't coming in for a couple weeks. And those ballots did not count. So we thought, well, let's just simplify this. Let's make Election Day Election Day. So all ballots must be in by 7 o'clock on Election Day. However, 3 left-leaning groups decided late, as in June of this year, to challenge that law. There was a district judge who said, okay, I'm going to put a stay on the law. I don't like that. One judge, one person, overrules the entire legislature elected by the citizens of the state of Kansas. In any event, he did that. And this guy was one of them that was put up for consideration for the Supreme Court. The governor did not choose him. But so there's been an appeal by the Attorney General and the Secretary of State to the state Supreme Court asking for an expedited ruling on the stay, to remove the stay so that we would have Election Day, Election Day. Yesterday, the Supreme Court, in a 5-2 decision, said, no, we're not going to hear it. We're going to let it run its process. All this has done is created confusion for voters. So there are a lot of groups that have been talking about and pointing to the fact that you got to get your ballot in by Election Day. Well, now with this court decision, it will still have the 3-day grace period. However, future elections, it may not, depending on what the court rules and what the legislature does. So there's a lot of frustration because of this 3-day grace period. I don't see why it's such a big deal. The opponents are saying it's a constitutional issue. Well, James, if it was constitutional for the first 100-plus years of our state, we didn't have that 3-day grace period. So if it's a constitutional issue, it should have been back when the Constitution was written. I don't know if Ron wants to weigh in on that topic or not, but a lot of frustration on a lot of legislators and citizens around the state, and particularly our Secretary of State.
I agree with Senator Peck that there's a lot of frustration around the issue, and I think what's going on in Washington, D.C. with the SAVE Act kind of ties in with this. people don't trust institutions nowadays as much as they used to. People don't trust our elections to some degree. And until we have election day as election day instead of election month, and until we have voter ID so we can have who's voting is who they say they are, I think people will still continue to mistrust some of our elections, and it will cause turmoil. So this also relates to another issue, Senator Peck, and that's coming up. It's this amendment that we have coming up Tuesday on selecting or electing Supreme Court justices, because the state Supreme Court, the Kansas Supreme Court, weighed in on this and totally changed what the people through their representatives were trying to do. And we see this, and this has amazed me just the few years I've been in the legislature, how much the unelected members of the Kansas Supreme Court can change the will of the people and that they have through their elected representatives. And that's something that bothers me. And I hope that everyone will really take a look at this amendment that's coming up Tuesday, because to me, it involves something. It's a thread that's run all the way back to the War for Independence, the Revolutionary War. It's we the people, self-governing people, or do we want a king? Do we want an elitist? Do we want someone who thinks they know better than us how we should live our lives, ruling over us? Back then it was King George. Today it's an insulated group of people that the people have no contact with in the Kansas Supreme Court, and they are ruling in cases. And I agree, they have the power to rule, but we need to change how they're selected so that they're accountable to the people. Because I think we the normal people, the taxpayers, need to have some influence on how we live our lives, how our children, grandchildren are going to live their lives. And you may have some comments, Senator Peck, but this retention election system that we have currently just isn't working.
It is not working. The Supreme Court, or any court for that matter, they are not to change law or change the wording. They are to read the law and then enforce the law. And sadly, we have a Supreme Court that has frequently legislated from the bench. They have changed the intent of the legislation that passed. And so it's frustrating to me, and you, Dr. Bryce, rightly said it, that we've got this small group of elitist, unaccountable individuals who select the Supreme Court justices. The retention election, which we've been told we have, and we do have, because the opponents to the amendment are saying, well, we have an election, we have a retention election. Well, Ron, I got that. We got a retention election. In 1972, voters, because they did not receive any information, and 1972, you and I were both in school, you were probably several grades ahead of me, but in any event, yeah. In 1972, the voters of the state of Kansas retained a deceased judge. The guy died. The guy had passed away, and then on election day, voters didn't know he had passed away sometime previous to that, and they voted to retain him. Had it been an election like what we have for our district judges, our magistrate judges, information would have gotten out that this particular judge is deceased, but that didn't get out. So
how do we get to where we are today with this current system that is unique to Kansas?
It is unique to Kansas. Kansas is the only state in the nation that our system is controlled by lawyers. What happened in 1958 was what's called the triple play. There was some misconduct by politicians. Oh, surprise, surprise, politicians would not act right. But a governor lost the primary election, so he was not going to be governor. There was also a vacancy on the state Supreme Court right immediately after the election. So he retired. He resigned his seat as governor, which meant the lieutenant governor moved up to the governorship. And the lieutenant governor at that time, because of the laws, which if this amendment passes, James, we, the people's representatives, the legislature, will establish the rules. And believe me, we will establish rules that are different from the rules that we had prior to that 1958 triple play. That triple play, prior to that, we elected our judges. But The lieutenant governor, then the new governor, appointed the former governor to a state Supreme Court position. And people didn't like that. They said, well, we've got to get politics where it's an insider game, a triple play maneuver to where that can't happen. And so this particular method was put in place in 1958 by the voters, which at that time, by the way, you had to be 21 years of age to vote in 1958 because we did not change the U.S. Constitution to allow 18-year-olds to vote until in the 1970s. So that meant people that were born in 1937 or prior put in the current system. So one thing, I'm glad that we're allowing current-day voters to weigh in onto the system. But that's how the system got that we have now. I don't really understand, James, all of the ins and outs because 1958, none of the three of us in this room were alive, and so I don't know what all was said or was not said, but how in the world it got to where it was strictly controlled by lawyers, an elite group of lawyers, I don't know. I can't answer that. I don't know if Ron, you have done any searching on the background or history of that, but if you have, you could enlighten me and everyone else. If you haven't, well...
Well, I just think it was a sometimes when there's a problem, people overreact or they over, you know, if you're going off the road on the right side and you're driving and you kind of overcorrect and you go to the left side, I think it was something like that where they decided that instead of people determining for themselves who is on the Supreme Court, they will defer that. It's easier if we just let some elites, in this case, attorneys, elite attorneys, decide who's on the court and keep them insulated. Like you said, people don't even know who's on the Kansas Supreme Court. There have been a couple of vacancies recently, and I don't know of anybody who understands, you know, that there were vacancies and that who was put on to fill those vacancies. And like you said, the current system, people are so insulated, the Supreme Court justices are so insulated that one of them could die and people would not even know it, and they just vote to retain them just out of habit because they want to be nice. And so I think, to me, this is a crucial issue. And we talk about the governor's race, we talk about other races, but for my children, my grandchildren, who we are as a self-determining people, I think this is the crucial thing that's on the ballot this Tuesday. And I would just strongly encourage people to take a look at this. I'm a definite yes on this issue. And I think it's going to really determine what kind of state we live in for generations to come.
Oh, you're exactly right. This is a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity for a lot of us to help to rein in the Kansas Supreme Court. I'm a definite yes as well. A lot of citizens, James, and I think we have talked about it, are unaware that we just recently, within the last month, got a new Supreme Court justice. Last year, 2025, we got a Supreme Court justice. Representative Bryce, I don't know if you saw Representative Lewis's video. Bob Lewis, who is a Garden City attorney. He's an attorney. He's a definite yes. But he was telling about the Supreme Court nominating committee in 2025. They received 15 applications. One of the individuals, Bob knows. He said this man was more than well qualified. He had argued before the Supreme Court. He went into all of his qualifications. I mean, he was definitely qualified. He was one of the 15 applicants. The nominating commission, the 9-member elite nominating commission, none of that 9 members voted for him to be on the Supreme Court. They elected their 3 buddies.
Because there's inside politics.
That's exactly right. It's currently inside politics, controlled, no matter who the governor is. The governor has 4 appointments on the nominating commission. The other 5 are elected by lawyers. You have to be a licensed lawyer in the state of Kansas. And so when you look at the opposition, I find that interesting and telling. There's been $7.6 million raised in opposition to this amendment, this judicial selection amendment, this year. There was money even before that. But when you look at who it is that's given the money, George Soros, $400,000, ACLU of Kansas and the National is nearly $2 million. Planned Parenthood, $1.5 million. A Tulsa individual gave $1 million. The NEA, $250,000. 11 different law firms gave over $1 million. So It's unreal the amount of money that is being spent to try to convince voters that the system we have is good. Well, when it's done by lawyers and left-leaning groups, that kind of should tell you something about who it is that supports or opposes. And when the bill was heard, 1611, which is the Senate concurrent resolution that allowed for the voters to weigh in on this, when it was heard in the Senate judiciary, the opposition, those who appeared in opposition to testify against it, were lawyer or lawyer groups: ACLU of Kansas, Kansas Bar Association, Kansas Trial Lawyers Association, Hutton & Hutton Law Firm, Kansas Women Attorneys Association for Freedom, Kansas Association of Defense Counsel. Man, you can see it's the lawyers. They want to, and not all lawyers are bad. There, we've got some great ones here in Coffeyville and in southeast Kansas. I know quite a few, but they only have a vote as to who's going to be on this nominating commission. And it seems like historically, and when you look across the state, our attorneys are going to lean left, so they're electing left-leaning people. And these left-leaning people are then putting up left-leaning judges to the governor to appoint one. So it's time for the citizens to have an opportunity to decide who's on their Supreme Court.
We've got about a minute left. Anything as we wrap up, gentlemen?
Ron, I'll let you have some time here, and if there's anything left, I'll pick up the pieces.
Thank you, Senator. I just wanted to reemphasize my feeling on this issue is it's not Republican versus Democrat. This is much deeper. This is we the people. And I think that we had an example of this type of issue on full display this week. If you saw Dr. Anthony Fauci in the Senate committee testifying about the COVID era, the elite people who thought they knew better than the normal people imposed onerous restrictions. You couldn't go to church. You couldn't go to ball games. You couldn't even be at the bedside of your dying relative. You had to wear masks, even though these people who knew better than us knew that the mask didn't work, etc. And so that's what we get into when we have elite people making decisions on how we live our lives instead of we the people making that decision. Tuesday is a good way to make a statement that we the people want to live our lives, determine our own lives and how our children and grandchildren will live. So I would encourage everyone to really look at this, and I'm going to vote yes.
All right. Well, State Representative Dr. Ron Bryan, State Senator Virgil Peck, we appreciate you joining us.
Hey, we appreciate the opportunity, James.
Thank you, James.
You're listening to KGGF Coffeyville Independence.